Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Dead End Sports Podcast. This is a weekly sports podcast. We like to call it the best couple of hours of your sports week. I am your host, 12 Kyle. Again, welcome and thank you for listening, downloading, and more importantly, subscribing to the Dead End Sports Podcast. If you haven't done so already, make sure that you subscribe and share with your friends. You can find us on SoundCloud. We're on YouTube. We have our own YouTube channel, youtube.com/deadendsports. We're on Stitcher as well as iTunes. So there's plenty of ways to stay involved and in contact with us. Make sure that you hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Dead End Sports. As I mentioned, this is a weekly sports podcast. We got a lot of stuff to cover, not a lot of time to do it. Of course, I will not be doing this podcast alone. Joining me are the homies. First up is my man, Beezy, 430. Beezy, though.
What up, though, Kyle? What's up,
chilling, man? Birthday boy. How's it going? How was the birthday?
It was nice, man. You know, like we were saying earlier, man, a little trip around the sun.
There it is. Always good to see another year. Yep. Always good to see another year. And also joining us is the homie, FIFO. FIFO, what's up, man?
My bad, B. Happy belated, dog. I meant to call you.
And happy belated birthday to you too, FIFO, because you celebrated birthday since the last time we've been on here.
Yeah.
I shouted FIFO birthday out because I knew it was going to be broadcasting on his birthday last week.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we were wondering, like, man, is FIFO coming on the show?
it was funny. Hey, I had to remind him. I was like, y'all, I think FIFO can't cool. I said, he ain't coming.
not that one.
No, that's right. Also joining us, the homie Ken. Ken, what's up, man?
Chilling, man. Chilling. Just, just watching this game, man. Trying to go crazy.
Man, you're all right?
Huh? Say what?
I said, you sound sad as hell. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, man. You know, these media pundits, man, they be driving me crazy with some of their talking points, man. I swear they just be saying stuff, but, you know.
And sometimes it's best to put the game on mute and turn some music on.
You know what? That's actually what I do. I turn the volume real, real low, and then I put on my headphones, and I just sit there and listen to music and watch the game.
Yeah, I found I can enjoy the game a whole lot better if I'm not listening to some of these people talk. Once again, we want to thank you all for listening and tuning into the Dead End Sports Podcast. Let's get it cracking, man. I guess the first thing we want to talk about, since the last time we spoke on last week's podcast, the NFL draft has gone down. Everybody not almost everybody, excluding the number one pick, Myles Garrett, was in Philadelphia this past weekend for the NFL draft. So let's start right there, man. B, I'll throw it over to you. Who are some of your biggest winners and losers from this weekend's draft?
Biggest winners. I think Houston did a good job. Okay. You know, getting Deshaun Watson. I think they can possibly secure a QB for the for the future. If he can get the system real well and get the playbook and all that stuff real well, I think he'll be all right, man. I have a good feeling about Deshaun Watson in that system, because we already know offensively Houston got weapons. You know, they were just lacking a QB, you know, and they already know on the defense side of the ball they're good. So I would say them, even though I don't think this might pan out for them, I think the Browns did pretty well in the draft, but you know, we already know how the story goes for the Browns, all the time. Like, they, you know, yeah, they did pretty well in the draft, but is the players going to pan out, you know, for them? So that remains to be seen. But yeah, I think that's just about it. I mean, I'm glad about my Lions that we went at defense with our first two picks, which I was so glad we got. Actually, we got two Florida Gators with our first two picks, but I'm upset that we didn't get a running back, man. I was hoping we can at least get a sleeper stud running back in that fifth or sixth round, but I was just like, but we addressed it a lot of defensive positions, which I was fine with that too. I think the only offensive positions that we got was a wide receiver and a tight end. I'm trying to think who would be who of my losers.
Yo, the biggest loser, Chicago. How the hell?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good
Come
one.
Come on, man. Come on, man. What, like, what are we? Trubisky. All the dudes. All of the guys in this draft, and that's the guy you go and pick. Man, look. If you really wanted a quarterback, I don't understand how Deshaun Watson slips all the way down. He should have been the first quarterback taken. He's the most proven. We know what he can do, and he does his best on the brightest stages. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. We've seen this guy in back-to-back national championships do his thing. Do his thing. So I think that he's one of the biggest winners. Obviously, Houston. And please pardon the chimes. these are all of my super old tech. I don't use my computer like that, and I close this app. But yeah, man, Houston, I think, was a big winner, big time winner.
You know, I definitely agree with you on, hold on, I got my computer's talking. All right, so definitely Chicago. I mean, okay, let me say this.
As losers? You mean as losers?
Yes, losers, losers. and really what I want to address, while I agree with the saying behind it, I think it's BS. And the saying I'm talking about, well, is if you think that's your guy, you got to go get your guy. Yeah, I understand that, but I also think it's a cop out to justify moves that are head scratching moves. To jump up one spot at the cost that the Bears committed to,
gave up picks to do it.
Right? Exactly. That's not going. That's going to get your guy, but that doesn't make much sense as a GM, as a person running the franchise, because look, the guy that they're talking about, what, he had a losing record or something in college? So, yeah, he had all the measurables, this, that, and the other, but, you know, I'm a guy, man, I like to look at competition and who you're playing against. That's why I knew Johnny Manziel wasn't going to work, because when he played against elite teams in the SEC, he struggled. He got Alabama, what, once or twice, but that was pretty much it. You know, like Raph, man, you got to look at Deshaun Watson, who played against Alabama, who I think had 11 guys drafted last week. He's playing against NFL caliber talent. So I love what Houston did in going to get him. Because I think that was, we always said, that was really the guy that they were missing. And one of the interesting things that I heard, you know, over the last couple of days is that when they had all the guys grouped together, I think at the combine, they said Deshaun Watson just took over the group. And they said Trubisky kind of played back and bided his time, and then he kind of started to get going. But immediately what you hear is a leader. And you hear another guy who's just going to try to wait and figure things out. Figure out the room before he commits to doing anything. So that's problematic, because they just came from a quarterback that wasn't much of a leader. So to move up, to commit that many resources to go get that guy, just doesn't make any sense. To stop making excuses for them, talking about you got to go get your guy. It depends on what the guy, who the guy is, if you ask me. And we all know Trubisky isn't Andrew Luck. So, so yeah, that was the one thing that's just frustrated the hell out of me over the last couple of days, where people just trying to justify, you know, that move. But for me, man, what I love the most was I love what the Browns did. Yeah, they didn't get Trubisky, and they'll probably be happy that they didn't. That remains to be seen. We don't know. But I like the pick of Kaiser. We all know that it's his head. It's mental for him. And if he can lock in, and if Hugh Jackson can work his magic, he may have a guy that can be the quarterback for that team. So you stocked up on defense. You got Myles Garrett, who's the best talent. You got Jabril Peppers. That's, you know, I mean, you're basically drafting an athlete, so we'll see what they do with him. You got a tight end in Njoku. I don't know much about him, but everybody ranted and raving about him. And then you got a quarterback. So you didn't get Trubisky. You didn't get Deshaun Watson. But you got a quarterback who many people, you know, he was a name. He was a name that the college marketed. He was a name that we saw on the marquee when Notre Dame was playing. So I like that. And another head scratcher, and you know, is the Chiefs. going up to get Patrick Mahomes. I didn't understand that either, but I do get that he just may be a guy that you're just going to sit back and just wait and use him when Alex Smith time is up. So if he's just going to sit, that's fine. But yeah, for me, man, those are the guys that I like the most.
I think I would tend to agree with most of what you guys have said. Actually, let me start.
I also have a winner too. I forgot too.
Go ahead, Bree.
Tennessee Titans.
Yes,
I think they did a great job with their draft, getting some more weapons for. What's Mariota. My man's quarterback name? Yeah, Mario.
I think they got two receivers.
Yeah, they got Corey Davis from Western Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Tywan Taylor from West Kentucky. I remember him. He's pretty good. He's a speedy, good slot receiver for him. They also got a good tight end from Florida International, Janu Smith. I think I'm saying his name right. And then they also got some O-line and some linebackers. So I think Tennessee Titans, in my opinion, is definitely a winner in the draft too. But yeah, losers. People, when you said Chicago, I was like, duh, they like that's like the elephant. That was like the obvious losers in the draft. But go ahead, Kyle. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you good. I think probably my first biggest winner, city of Philadelphia, man. I mean, to have a draft and have it outside and to have 70,000 people, come out each day to watch it, I think it goes without saying that it will be back next year in Philadelphia. They have definitely given a model for it. I mean, and I know they did it in Chicago a couple of years ago, but this was probably one of the livest, because you guys know the draft is long and it's drawn out, and you have to have things to talk about. But having the fans there, and they were loud and they were, rambunctious as Philadelphia fans are, I thought Philadelphia is definitely a winner. Definitely got to give a winner call to, the Texans for taking Deshaun Watson. I thought I was really surprised that Deshaun Watson fell to them, but I think we talked about it on previous podcasts that, Houston is a team that we think that was a quarterback away from beating the Patriots. If they got any kind of, and you go back to that AFC championship game, I think it was either AFC championship game or the divisional game against the Patriots, if they get any kind of quarterback play, they win that game. The defense had them. They had Brady in check and everything. And, ultimately they could not score any points because the quarterback was just awful. I definitely think that they were a winner. I think, overall, I think most of the teams, did a good job as far as picking up talent. I mean, obviously you have to kind of figure out who's going to fit into what system. Definitely the Bears are losers. I said this on Twitter. I saw Trubisky play three times last year. He wasn't impressive in any of the games that I saw. And I mean, I think sometimes these GMs have a tendency to overthink things and they get away from the tape. I mean, we saw Deshaun Watson beat Alabama for a national championship and damn near beat him the year before for a national championship. And I mean, in those two games, he played two of the best games that he's played in his life, almost throwing for 1,000 yards total in both games. And to see him do that, and then, they kind of just dismiss it. Wherein Trubisky played in the ACC, he had decent numbers. He didn't have great numbers. But again, all I can go by is what I saw. And the three times that I saw Trubisky, and I think me seeing him three times is a lot more than a lot of people saw him last year because he was a relative unknown. He wasn't impressive. And I think for the Bears to have given up what they gave up to get him, they're definitely losers. Another winner is San Francisco, because San Francisco was able to get the guy that they wanted and hustle, Chicago out of the picks. And I mean, so yeah, it was definitely a win-win for them. So I think their team on the move up too as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how these teams play out as far as some of the players that they drafted.
You know who's a big loser to me too is the Jets, because they could have took Deshaun. You know what I'm saying? Like they're another team that was a quarterback away. You know what I'm saying? Especially with that type of defense. We always know what the Jets have been. They've been the same type of team regardless of the head coach. You know what I'm saying? I just think that they've built an identity based off of that city, and that's just how they play. And all they've needed is a quarterback, and you have them sitting right there, and you don't pick them. So I think they were a big-time loser. I definitely agree with the 49ers. That's who I was going to bring up. Okay. Johnson's doing a great job in his first year as a GM, because sometimes there are certain drafts that maybe you don't believe in a guy. Good. Trade out of that and stockpile. And that's the reason why the Bears are such big losers. How the hell you get outclassed by a rookie, by a rookie GM?
Hey, a rookie GM that just got the job. I mean, just like he hadn't been there, what, 2 months maybe?
And he has the NFC representing offensive coordinator. So right. He's doing a damn good job right now, okay? So far on the first quarter of his career, boom, got to give him an A so far. He's doing an amazing job. Yeah, man, but the Jets as a loser,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I agree. One other loser I gotta throw out there. Hold on 1 second, Ken, I'll get to you. Another loser, the Buffalo Bills, man, who didn't have they had an okay draft, if you will, by most pundits, but they ended up firing their GM, Doug Whaley, the day after the draft. I mean, like, who does that? Now, if you listen to the experts, they'll say the writing was on the wall, that they basically stripped him of his powers, even in the time leading up to the draft. But it's just a bad look for the Bills that you go through the draft, these players get drafted, and the next day the GM as well as the Buffalo Bills scouting staff all got fired. And I mean, I feel a little bad for Doug Whaley, because obviously he's a brother, but still, I mean, fired on your day off? Come on, man. Yeah, the Bills, they're losers here. Who else do you have, Ken?
Well, from what I understand, I don't think he wasn't part of this draft process, if I recall, so these guys won't be on his watch. What I was going to say is, can we please stop comparing Deshaun Watson and Dak Prescott just because they're both black? I'm so sick and tired of that. That's all they compare him to. Every time they talk about Deshaun Watson, they bring up Dak Prescott.
Because of the impact, though, Ken, because of the situation. Look at where Dak went and what was around him. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. He went to the perfect situation to just be good enough, and then you look even better. Like, they already had the weapons. They already had the veterans. They had that old line. And then when you look at Houston with all of those weapons and that defense, then you're salivating. You know, say if you're Bill O'Brien right now, like, yo, I got a real guy. So it's kind of a similar situation. It's not just because they're black, Ken. Come on, I'm not going to let you.
well, maybe it's a situation, and I don't know, because I haven't heard anybody make the comparison, but maybe it's a situation where they think that, because, I mean, I look at Tom Savage, and I'm like, I don't see any reason why Deshaun Watson can't be starting by week 4 or 5. I don't see any reason why. You know, because I'm not a believer in Tom Savage. I don't know that the Houston Texans are.
They are. They like him.
Really? I'm surprised, because I haven't seen anything. Maybe he's nice in practice. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that I found annoying, Joe Mixon.
Oh, I forgot about Joe Mixon.
I like.
And you did call it, Ken. You did. Now, for those of you listening, Ken sent us a text. I want to say the text was on, it was like Thursday afternoon. And Ken said, you know, Joe Mixon will end up on a team like the Bengals. Or he might have just said that he'll end up on the Bengals. And sure enough, the Bengals take Joe Mixon.
He's, you know, I understand his past. He paid for it. It's like, that's all people have talked about. And I understand that there's this domestic abuse, right, has been elevated because of Ray Rice. And, of course, because there's video with this. I the Greg Hardy situation, like, I understand there's a heightened awareness around it. But it also feels like, and then it went to the Bengals on top of that. We know the problem. It also feels like he's ratings for them too, because every single day it seemed like somebody was talking about Joe Mixon, where is he going to go? What is he going to do? This, that, and the other. To the point where it just became just unbearable to listen to, because, you know, the man has paid for his crime. He sat out, what, a year? and you're talking about who's going to take the risk. And I understand it is a risk to take this guy, but from what I understand also is he's been relatively clean. And I hope and pray that that brother don't get in any more trouble. But I don't think he will. I think he got caught in the situation. His temper got the best of him, and that's that. But it's like every single day it seems like it's a story. But I just hope he stays out of trouble, man.
Moving on to the NBA. NBA playoffs are in full effect. Since we last spoke on the podcast, the second round has begun. As we're at the time of this recording, game two between the Boston Celtics and the Washington Wizards being played. So let's break it down, man. Let's give our predictions for the series. FIFO, how do you see Toronto and Cleveland? How many games do you think that's going to go, and who do you think is going to win?
Obviously, Cleveland. Cleveland will make it out the East. They will do that. I don't know, man. I give Toronto maybe five games, six games, possibly. I thought they were going to lose to the Bucks. The Bucks still ain't ready. You know what I'm saying?
The Bucks disappointed me.
Yeah.
They disappointed me, man.
They're just not ready. You know, but it is what it is. They're young. They'll be back. And Giannis is that guy. I think that
they got cocky, man. They got cocky.
They did. They did. And that's the thing. I told B that if they don't win, it's because they don't understand to stay even keeled. But that's what this ass whooping taught them. So they'll be ready next year. But I'm definitely picking Cleveland. Cleveland in five or six. I'm taking Washington because right before we got on air, I texted the guys.
All right, so FIFO, so you gave us your prediction for Toronto and Cleveland, and Boston and Washington. What about the West? Give us who do you think is going to win between Houston and San Antonio and Utah and Golden State?
Houston look like they got too many guns. That I've been trying to tell you, they can take Golden State. I'm not saying they're going to win them. But I'm just saying they can push that series. They have weapons. They got two guys coming off the bench that should be six men of the year. How many teams have been able to say something like that? And they just come with bombs. Even their big guys, right? Like, what's his name? Ryan Anderson. And then their other big guys roll to the basket with Capella and Nene. And then Nene got the mid-range game. So they can hit you with different bigs to spread you out. Or to rim run, like they just have a lot, and I think they're like purposely built to compete with Golden State, and I think that what Daryl Morey has done is smart. If that's the best team, then how are we gonna beat them? Because you can't defend all that. You gotta shoot with them, and that's what they can do. And I think they're gonna beat the Spurs. I don't know. I don't know if the Spurs can handle all that.
How many games you think that's going?
Ooh, he's pop, man. I gotta respect. I'm gonna go seven.
Okay.
Just because of pop.
Golden State, Utah.
Oh, man, come on.
Hey, I got to ask.
Yeah, I feel you. No, that's quick work because if Utah had to go seven games against the Clippers, oh, no. This is quick work. Five games, gentlemen sweep.
Okay. B, what about you, man? In the East, Toronto and Cleveland, how do you see that one playing out?
Cleveland in five. Well, Boston, Washington, I got Washington in six.
Oh, okay, okay. A little upset here.
What else? Yeah, Golden State in Utah. I might go sweep. I don't know if ISO Joe can save them one game. Might go sweep on that one too for Golden State. They got a nice little easy path to the Western Conference Finals. And then San Antonio and Houston, Jesus Christ, man. I hate to, like, jump the gun so much after one game.
It's only been one game. For those of you listening at the time of this recording.
And the Spurs won the series 3-1. Right. I should remind people.
We saw Houston blow the doors off of San Antonio last night.
Just like people, I got to respect Greg Pop, but if LaMarcus Aldridge don't show, I'm gonna say Rockets in five. If LaMarcus Aldridge keep disappearing,
damn.
Yep. I'm gonna say LaMarcus Aldridge has.
Have we ever seen a pop led team get beat in five?
LaMarcus Aldridge has not been living up to the deal.
He really hasn't.
And if he continue to disappear like he has been, I'm gonna say in the way Rockets been playing, I'm gonna say Rockets in five. I mean, I hate to say that, or against the great Greg Pop. Because, like I said, I don't want to jump the gun. I hate to jump the gun too much on a series because we've all been watching playoff basketball for years and decades. We've seen series turn around. So, you know, if LaMarcus got to step up. If LaMarcus step up, then I'm going to go with people prediction and say Rockets in seven out of respect to Greg Pop. But if LaMarcus still go hiding in the corner somewhere, Rockets in five.
Ken, how do you see it going, man? Toronto and Cleveland.
That might be a sweep. That might be a sweep.
I'd give it Toronto one game. I'd give them one game. Because, you know, Cleveland, LeBron and them good for, like, taking off, like, a little night. You know, it'd be like, all right, let's chill out, and bam, you know, we'd get them back and finish out the series in five.
You know, I agree with that, man. But I remember last year and I think the year before, there's a certain way this team plays when they just don't respect you and know you can't beat them. That's how they played yesterday. That the way they played yesterday is the way they played against Atlanta a couple of years ago, and they just had no respect for them and knew they couldn't compete. And I don't know, man. Maybe five, maybe a gentleman sweep, but I think it might go four. I do want to issue an apology to the Toronto Raptor fans out there, to the city of Toronto, for disrespecting you. Well, I don't know if it's disrespect, but I didn't think you guys would be the Bucks, and you proved me wrong. So I'm a man, and I'm not afraid to admit when I was wrong. So great job by you guys, but this ain't what you want. As far as Boston, Washington, this is interesting, right? Because for all intents and purposes, Washington should beat these guys.
Should.
Yeah. But they make, first of all, they don't have much of a bench. Second of all, the Celtics benefit from a lot of lucky breaks. Rondo gets hurt. Marquise Morris twists his ankle, doesn't return. Otto Porter just got his nose smashed, so he may not come back. I think he broke his nose or something like that. You know, and Morris got into it with Isaiah Thomas and everybody on Boston because that's just what Morris does.
Mm-hmm.
They have home court advantage, and they have a tendency to just find ways to win. I've been watching this team, and games they should lose, they somehow manage to win. And it's like game one, they shot almost 50% from the 3-point line to win that game. John Wall disappeared, in that game, and they just never recovered. I like Washington to win this series. I think if Washington wins tonight, it should go six. But they got to find a way to hold on to this lead and win, man. And John Wall, he has to continue to, you know, force his will on this team, you know, and will this team to a victory, because he's going to take everything he has. Because the one thing about the Celtics is they play great team ball. And mm-hmm. they have so many different pieces here and there that can come in and contribute at any given moment. So, you know, when they take Isaiah Thomas out of the game or when he struggles, other guys manage to step up. So, Washington should win it. They have proven in stretches that they are the better team. But somehow the Celtics managed to come back and win. But if you ask me, the Celtics shouldn't even be here. So I'm going to go with Washington in six. I believe in John Wall. Houston set, man. You know what? I was watching that game last night, and it was very raggedy. It was very rough. But let's be real. The Rockets were extremely hot from behind three-point line. We saw that work to Boston's advantage in their game one, and they just were not going to be beat. So, Papa make his adjustments, and while I want to pick Pop to win this, I don't think he will. And I, as much as I love him, I don't want him to. I want to see Rockets Warriors because I think at the end of the day, that team is built to take down the Warriors. Everything FIFO said is correct. I don't need to add any more to that. And I'll say this, and I'm going to close with this. While everybody's jumping on LaMarcus Aldridge, I just want to say for the record that on this very show 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whenever he was in Portland, I was the one that saw this from this guy and called him out years ago. I was on this. I saw this. So everybody, all you guys out here jumping on LA, y'all are late to the party. It's to the point now where, man, I'm starting to feel bad for the guy. Because it's embarrassing. And I don't think he's going to be there much longer. I don't think he likes playing there. I think he wants to go somewhere where he's the man. And I don't think he likes this system ball. Because Kawhi's the man now. And it was supposed right. to be him. I think he's going to get out of San Antonio. But Can give me the Rockets.
Is it worse than A-Rod?
Say what?
Is it worse than A-Rod? LaMarcus.
Ugh, almost, man. He oh, has well. he did this last year. He'll show up for a game, and then he just disappears, and you never see him again.
And it's like he's done it for his entire playoff career. This is just who he is now.
Well, they're gonna have to figure something out quickly because he can't play like how he played. Yes, and I know one game doesn't make a series. But like you said, Ken,
it's not one game for him, though.
Yeah, exactly. And when it's one game, it usually turns into a trend. Utah, Golden State, who you got?
I got Utah in six, man.
Ken, yeah, right. Stop it. You just talking.
Hey, I'm looking at the screen. What? Did he just say what he said?
I did think about it. They just don't have enough offense, but defensively they're really good. And you know, Gobert is like 8 feet tall, and but Favors is just not healthy enough to present problems down low for them. But they manage to slow teams down. But I think what when FIFO said that if it took them seven games to beat the Clippers without Blake Griffin, then yeah, it's probably going to be five.
I think in the East I've got Cleveland in five. I think Toronto might get one in Toronto. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a sweep. Toronto just doesn't. They just don't do enough for me. And I think ultimately, you know, this is just one of those teams that they don't match up well against. And I think we've seen the combination of Lowry and DeRozan go blank at times. And obviously this is a series where they can't afford to go blank. Washington versus Boston. I like Boston in seven in this one. Both of these teams are streaky as hell. I could see Washington winning in seven, but I'd like to think that this one is going to go all the way. Only because I think you're going to get the constant from John Wall, but Bradley Beal is the guy that kind of concerns me from Washington because he has playoff games where he just doesn't show up. And like B said, this Boston team is just – it's a weird team to watch, especially if you haven't really seen them a lot during the season because they're a team that they look like they probably shouldn't be putting up a lot of points. But, you know, when they're knocking down threes, they're tough to beat. But I like Boston in seven in this one. Houston, San Antonio, man, this is tough for me because I really don't want to go against Pop. I gotta say Houston in six, man. I think what we saw last night, I don't think that's any indication of what the series will be. But they played, you know, the regular season series relatively close. The games were relatively close. So, I'm going to say Houston probably has a little bit more firepower. And like B said, if LaMarcus Aldridge plays as bad as he played last night, it won't make it to six. But I'm thinking that Pop will have the guys ready and Houston. But Houston still will have too much in their win in six. Golden State, I think, wins. I'm calling a sweep, man. I don't think Utah has enough to stick with them. I think I'd be surprised if they got one win. And there's no knock on you. I mean, it's been a great season for Utah. To make it to the second round of the Western Conference Finals, I think, is an accomplishment. But nah, I'm not. I would be surprised if Toronto got a win. I'd be surprised if Utah got a win as well. So that's what we have for the NBA. Before we move into the next topic, read a couple of headlines here that happened in case you guys missed it. Congratulations to Russell Westbrook and Sierra. They had a baby girl, so congratulations.
Wilson, to Wilson.
Who did I say?
You said Westbrook.
Oh, snap, my bad. Damn, I'm giving him side babies. My bad. Russell Wilson and Sierra had a baby girl. I'm sorry. In boxing news, British boxer Anthony Joshua knocked out Klitschko in the 11th round to take the heavyweight title. Did any of you guys see that fight?
Yep.
B did.
I did.
Yeah, I did. I did too. What'd you think of it, B?
Yeah, I thought this was Anthony Joshua's first like real test against a veteran crafty heavyweight. I mean, unfortunately, Klitschko is past his prime, but I think experience really kind of made Joshua put the test, because it was times when Joshua knocked him on the canvas, but then Klitschko came back and hit him with a 1-2 with that right.
Mm-hmm.
Rock Joshua, and Joshua was looking fatigued and everything. I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like the crafty veteran might get the W and give Joshua his first L, because Joshua's record, leading to this fight was 18-0 with 18 knockouts. So wow. Now he got his 19th W with a knockout, and now he has the IBF and WBA heavyweight title. Dante Wilder, who has the WBC title, I hope he fights him. And then we have a undefeated young Joshua Parker, who got the WBO belt. So yeah, Joshua got two out of those four heavyweight belts, man. And he's being ranked as one of the top heavyweights, man. But I would love to see him and the Bronx Bomber Dante Wilder go head to head in the near future, man. And I hope they both stay undefeated until they fight each other, because them boys, boy, Dante Wilder record is like crazy. I think his joint is like 32-0 with like 29 knockouts or something. Dude is a beast. He's like the size of he's like LeBron but boxing. That's his size. He's the size of LeBron, same height and everything, about the same weight, and he's boxed. So he got like about 2 inches on Anthony Joshua. Joshua was 6'6 and like 260. So
that's a big ass boxer though. 6'6.
Yeah. Anthony Joshua, he's more ripped than Dante Wilder though.
Okay. But
naturally, Wilder is just a bigger. He's a taller boxer. But Anthony Joshua looks like, I mean, that dude look like freaking T-8-100 from Terminator, dude. He's just big, dude. And Joshua Parker, I think I give him a little bit more time. He got to get some more tests before he can really be considered. I mean, he's sitting, over there with that WBO belt. He hadn't had no real tests yet. So I don't know if Anthony Joshua going to try to fight him, get his belt, and then fight Dante Wilder for the unified entire heavyweight with all four belts, which would be crazy. So, but yeah, I'm glad it was no undercard. It went straight to the fight. It was the main event. So yeah, I thought it was a great look for heavyweight boxing, man. Heavyweight boxing has been struggling, over the last like 15 to 20 years. So I think this was great to see a huge venue for a heavyweight match. And, it kind of got people talking about the heavyweight division. Yeah.
And it was on TV that everybody could see. It wasn't on, $100 for pay-per-view to see it, too.
Yeah. So if I'm telling you, if him and Dante Wilder can fight, man, that'll be huge for heavyweight boxing, man. Very huge. Because we all know middleweights and welterweights have been running boxing over the past, 20 years. So, yeah.
It's definitely, because, I'm pretty sure a lot of people listening, you rattle off some names that people probably never even heard of or not really familiar with. And that's because, particularly here in America, we're not really familiar with the heavyweight division because of how boxing has, kind of fallen off at that level to some degree. So it was good to see that fight. Good to see boxing, back in the news again. Also in the news, your boy, Ken's boy, Jay Cutler, actually gave a few phone calls to the Texans looking for employment, and come to find out that the Texans did not return his phone call. So that was interesting. Madison Baumgartner from the San Francisco Giants is out for 3 months with an AC sprain. It's going to be interesting to see how the Giants rebound without their ace on the mound. And last but not least, man, in case you missed it, Beast Mode is back. Beast Mode is back. He is in Oakland. Man, what can I say? He will be wearing number 24. He is no longer a Seattle Seahawk. So to have Marshawn Lynch in the silver and black is going to be a sight to see. We had an incident in baseball, a very, very ugly incident in baseball last night at the time of this recording. The Boston Red Sox were playing the Baltimore Orioles, and Baltimore Orioles outfielder Adam Jones, not to be confused with Adam Pac-Man Jones, as they were visiting Boston, was hit with a bunch of racial slurs. Fans called him the N-word, and somebody threw a bag of peanuts at him while he was in the outfield. Now, if you're familiar with sports and familiar with their sports history, and not just their sports history, but Boston has a long history of documented incidents with athletes and racism and things of that nature. Ken, what did you think, man, when you heard about what happened to Adam Jones?
But it's Trump, man. Trump put in battery packs in people, and they think that we're back in the day, so they can just go out there and say, like, whatever. This type of stuff shouldn't and wasn't tolerated, thankfully. And, you know, I hope that they continue to police stuff like this. And hopefully it's just a one-time incident. But he says it's happened to him before. And I think it's also just a product of the game. You just have people out there that are just like this, man. And it's unfortunate that in 2017, you know, we're still having to deal with this. And, you know, they gave him a standing ovation today when he played, which was, I mean, does this surprise me in Boston? No. But I think they need to be upfront with what is happening in that city and work to improve it. And what I thought was funny was Mookie Blaylock, I think he tweeted that
Mookie Betts.
Damn. Mookie Blaylock. Wow, shout out to Mookie Blaylock. Mookie Betts tweeted that he was black, for the record or something like that. He was black too. Well, Mookie, I think they kind of knew that, dog, because they calling you Mookie. So, you know, that's no big surprise there, buddy.
Right. Yeah, I don't know too many white Mookies.
You're not fooling anybody, man. I think they knew you were black. I think they were fine calling you Mookie. It's close to a couple of other things they probably said about black people back in the day.
Right. B, what about you, man? What did you think about when you heard the news of Adam Jones being, you know, these things being said about him, like I said, being called the N-word, as well as having a bag of peanuts thrown at him?
Yeah, man, I completely agree with Ken. He took the words right out of my mouth about, as far as, you know, with Trump being in office, you know, folks up in. And, you know, we said this when Trump got elected in the office, you know, we was like, wow, this is going to do, you know, the way he was campaigning and his rallies and stuff, is just like, if these folks acting like this now, just when he got in office, it was like they going to feel provoked to even say whatever and do whatever, you know, to minorities, you know. So, and this is just a prime example of that. You know, it's just like, when I saw it didn't surprise me. I wasn't like, oh my God, I can't believe they said that. Like, I'm pretty sure, you know, a lot of these guys have gotten, a lot of the minorities in baseball is probably, white folks has probably said some slick stuff to him, some racist stuff to him, and they probably never said nothing. They probably just like, oh, okay, whatever. I expect that from, you know, a racist person or from this particular city or crowd. But, you know, for him to finally say it, I mean, I don't think it's a shocker. I think this has been going on years after years after years since we've been living, before we was living, all that stuff. So it's like, it didn't surprise me at all. And like Ken said, people going to say whatever they say. You can try to police this as much as you can. But at the end of the day, folks going to still say whatever they want to say, man. They're going to still be crazy and act like they want to jump up, step up to get beat down. You know, when you sitting way up there in the stands and them professional players is down there, they can't do nothing. And you know that. So, you know, It is what it is, man. I just really think this shows how much the Trump, you know, Trump himself and just Trump administration just provoked how, you know, people want to act towards minorities, man. They feel they got that gas in them, man. They feel gassed up. That they got that hot tank behind them, man. They feel like they can just go ahead and just say and do whatever, man. So, you know, it's not shocking.
Yeah, the other thing I'll add is I think I'm a little surprised. I wasn't surprised so much as that it happened in Boston. Like I said, that city has a longstanding history and it's well documented of, you know, racial incidents. I mean, you can go back to the, you know, how, like Ken, like you mentioned, how Bill Russell was treated back in the 60s. And keep in mind, this is one of the most celebrated athletes of his era. 11 championships, and he was treated in some places like a second class citizen in his own city. But I think it's more than just, you know, just today or, you know, in the past as well, because, you know, the ace on their staff, David Price, mentioned that he's heard, you know, the N word thrown at him in his own stadium. Now that's rare that you get bombarded with that in your own stadium by quote unquote your fans, you know. So it's not. I don't think it's beyond the realm of comprehension that it would happen. And I'm not surprised that it happened. And because, like I said, I think Boston is a racist ass city. But I could say that about every city, to be honest. I mean, every city's like that. So every city that we're in is racist. So, and you're gonna have racist people. Does it mean that the whole city is racist? No, but it's again, it's well documented. And I find what I find interesting is that as soon as stuff like this happens, people particularly people of that particular city are the first one to jump up. Oh, well, no, we're not racist. We're not. Yes, you are. I mean, it's well documented. And, you know, Adam Jones didn't just make this stuff up. He didn't throw a bag of peanuts on the ground. You know, but I think one thing that people have to understand is, and here's what I question is, when all of that stuff is going on, let's say you're at the stadium and you see a guy, you know, I'm not opposed to somebody getting on an opposing player, but, you know, there's a line that you should and should not cross, because I don't think for a second that anybody that said that to Adam Jones would say that to Adam Jones's face, because Adam Jones ain't a little man by any stretch of the imagination. So I think you have to realize and kind of figure out, well, when stuff like that happens, what are the people in the area doing? Are you just sitting there uncomfortable? Are you co-signing? Or are you just sitting there in silence? Because if you're sitting there in silence, you're not doing anything, you're not telling that person to shut up, or you're trying to mind your own business, then you're actually perpetuating the problem. And if Boston is really about great fans, and we know some great Boston fans, our boy Ryan is a huge Boston fan of all sports. You know, if it's really about that, then you would do your best in the stands to curb that stuff from happening. But it's happened all too, you know, way too many times. And unfortunately, this isn't the first time, and unfortunately won't be the last time. So we'll see how it plays out. Moving back on to the NBA, Charles Barkley and Draymond Green. Well, Draymond Green in particular made some headlines when a reporter asked him, you know, was he the next Charles Barkley? And Draymond Green replied simply in Draymond fashion, hell no. So let's start there. FIFO, is Draymond the new Barkley, or do you think he could be even better than Barkley?
God, that's so insulting. Look,
it is, because here's the thing. Draymond's nice, and I think he does certain things better than Barkley, but as an overall player, he's not better than Barkley.
Right.
It's just that simple. Come on. I was listening to Skip and Shannon on Undisputed, and Skip is talking about this man, Draymond Green, is better than Charles Barkley. Yo. Skip, I understand what he does because he has bills to pay. Like, his stance on LeBron, and now this? Come on, man. Come. What are we talking about here? We talking about the mile round, the rebound? We talking about the guy that gets 30-30s? We talking about that guy? Like, look, I think Draymond is a better dribbler. He had that skill set, Draymond got him. In terms of passing IQ, Draymond got him. Everything else, oh, I give Draymond blocks. I'll give Draymond blocks.
I don't know about that, FIFO.
Everything else, that's all Charles. Big time. big time scoring, big time rebounding, everything else, man. MVP. I don't care what team Draymond's on, he'll never be the MVP. That's just not gonna happen. So the comparison stops there, man. Charles Barkley is a legend. No, he didn't win no championship, and that's the glowing thing missing off of his resume. But look, man, come on, Charles Barkley? No, Draymond is not as good as Charles Barkley. He won't be. It is what it is. Come on, man. Come on.
No, he's not the new Barkley. But I mean, I'm fine with his answer, the way he answered it. I mean, you know, that's cool. If he say hell no, then hell, that's his prerogative. He has the right to say that. But yes, I don't even know why that comparison came about. Maybe because they both like consider quote unquote undersized power forwards. Mm-hmm. But yes, no. I mean, can he be better than Charles Barkley?
No.
I mean, who knows?
No, B. Who knows? No.
Like, I mean, still, we got to see how his career pan out. B. But I mean, can he carry a team like Barkley has carried teams? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you can you make Draymond Green that guy for your team? Like, can you start a franchise and say, you know what? I'm building a franchise around Draymond. You can do that with Barkley. But you can't do that with Draymond. I don't think you can do that with Draymond Green. So yes, I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna go ahead and definitely say no on that one. That's I can't believe Skip just I don't even pay Skip just say stuff just to say stuff. You know they for ratings. I think he don't even believe the stuff that comes out of his mouth. So yeah, man, for him to say that's ridiculous. No, he's not no Charles Barkley.
What about you, Ken?
Man, you already know my answer, man. Come on, man. This is. Like, when I saw this, first of all, Draymond should be thankful that somebody tried to compare him to the great Charles Barkley, top true. 50 player of in the NBA of all time. I know we need to update that list, but matter is, you know, this dude, Charles Barkley, in his heyday, was the truth. I mean, this dude put up numbers. And for those of you out there that don't know, go to Basketball Reference and type in Charles Barkley and look at the numbers this dude put up in one of the toughest basketball eras of our generation. I mean, he went toe-to-toe with, he lost his six, but he took that team to the finals, the Phoenix Suns to the finals. I think he even won an MVP once.
Yeah, he won MVP that year, that particular year.
So he would have had a title. Yeah, he would have had a title if it wasn't for Jordan. How many people we can say that about, right? So
a bunch. You know,
yeah, it was a lot. Like, the dude can flat out play, and he didn't have to earn his way into. He didn't have to luck into a role in the NBA like Draymond did. You know, that year I forgot who got hurt. Somebody got hurt, and Draymond started playing. It was like, oh, we found Draymond. Draymond can play, and I'm not trying to disrespect Draymond at all. But Charles Barkley, man, he's on another level. He's on another level, and I just don't see Draymond getting to that level of play that Charles Barkley was at. Charles Barkley was one of the best players in the NBA during the time that he played. So, nah, man, just stop it. So disrespectful.
Yeah, when you send this to us, man, it had me scratch my head. I'm like, who came up with this idea? Like, you know, whose bright idea was this? To answer the question, no, he's not the new Barkley. He can't be better than Barkley. I think sometimes, man, people get a little beside themselves and they really forget greatness. The Barkley that we see on a night-to-night basis on TNT, the chubby funny guy, that's who he is now. But no, do your Googles and do the knowledge. I mean, go back to the late 80s, early 90s. Charles Barkley was that dude. I mean, and he, like you said, all NBA, dream team. He is, you know, he was one, maybe two players away from beating Jordan in the finals, even though they lost in six. But no, MVP, I mean, his accolades speak for themselves. Draymond Green would, and there's no disrespect to Draymond Green, but if you put Draymond Green on the Utah Jazz. You know, is he doing the same thing he's doing with Golden State? Probably not. He has a great skill set, and his skill set works. And I hate the term system player. His skill set works for the system and the team that they have in Golden State. I don't think you can put Draymond Green on the Orlando Magic and get the same results. But that's just me. And that's no knock on Draymond Green. But Draymond Green would have to play – he'd have to play two careers of basketball to even sniff what Barkley did. The only thing they have in common is they both are black. That's it. So. moving on. LaVar Ball, man. He's back in the news again. LaVar Ball made headlines again. It was widely reported late last week that all of the major apparel companies, Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, said that they would not be interested in doing a partnership deal with LaVar Ball and his Big Baller brand that he is trying to market for his sons, specifically Lonzo Ball, who will be, you know, probably a top three, top five pick in next year's NBA draft. And it came out, I think it was yesterday or maybe today, that LaVar Ball is looking for a signature shoe deal. And the deal he wants the shoe to be priced at $200. Now keep in mind that LeBron's most expensive shoe is somewhere around $220. B, has LaVar Ball gone too far this time?
Yeah, man. I get he's trying to change the mode. You know, I guess the business mode as far as the shoe. You know, the shoe game or whatever. But like, how can you ask for people to put this much stock into your brand when your son hasn't played a lick of professional ball yet? I mean, that's a big gamble. You're taking a big gamble, and not saying that these big companies never took that gamble before, because you know we all know like Adidas and Reebok and all these companies was willing to throw the table at LeBron, you know, before he even stepped foot on the NBA court.
Not really. They wasn't ready to throw the table. LeBron almost didn't sign to Nike. He almost signed to Adidas.
Adidas, right? I'm saying Adidas was ready to give him some money though. That's the point.
Yeah, I
don't think these companies is willing to invest that much in LaVar Ball and Lonzo Ball and their shoe brand. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they because it's like, dude, what have you done? Or either that, or they just like, okay, your son is good, but is he really that good? Because let's be honest, Lonzo Ball is not getting the pub or the recognition like LeBron James was, you know, coming out, getting ready to play in the NBA. It would be different if he was getting that type of pub. But
right.
For something that's not proven yet like that, I don't know. I mean, I get it. He would definitely change the mode, the business mode of how you do business, you know, shoe stuff. You know, if this was to happen, but I just don't think they jumping on the Lonzo bandwagon like that. It's like, okay, yeah, your son's good, but I mean, is he really that good? I mean, is he really gonna go in the NBA and then just like change it up like that, like the way LeBron did or something like that? You know, so I don't. He's hurting his son. I'm really curious of what Lonzo thinks about this. Like, that's
he don't think nothing.
That's what I want to hear. I want to hear what he thinks about this whole situation. Like, he has to be talking to his dad. Like, damn, dad. Like, really? Like, Nike.
Okay. Let me stop you there, B. You talk a lot on this podcast about your father. Great guy. Looking forward to meeting him one day. Put yourself in Lonzo Ball's shoes. At 19, could you have said something to your dad? If that was your dad,
not the way I would probably say it to y'all. You know, it would be in the dang, really, dad? Like, so, you know, it would be in a way where I don't think he would be like, you better calm down your inside voice. Like, it wouldn't be in that way. It would be like on some most punk shit in like for real. Because
it would
dad.
Be a way that wouldn't get you slapped.
Right. If I come at a wrong tone with my dad, he gonna beat me down quick, and I don't want right. that. You know what I'm saying? So, oh yeah, I would definitely like say I'd be like, damn, dad, like really, like you know, because I've done stuff like that to him before, like where he just, you know, I say like really, dad, like for real, like you know, he just kind of like laugh it off, or whatever. So like, if he was to do something like that, I'd be like, dang, dad, like Nike was calling, like why, what's up, like you know, it wouldn't be like on no. all right, Dad, you fucking up my money. So, like, it wouldn't be like like that, because I'd be dead at that point if I was
right
that way. But yeah, man, I'm curious to know what Lonzo thinks. Like, he has to have an opinion. He has to feel some type of way about this.
I just don't know we'll ever hear it, man. I just don't. FIFO, man. Like I said, 200. He's asking for 200, and LeBron's shoes go for 200. I mean, so like, come on, explain this to me, man. Is he going too far at this point? Because we've talked about about LeVar Ball on several podcasts this year alone. Is this too much?
This is too much. This is the difference between being a father and being a businessman. Mm. Now, in business, the thing I've learned is that great business, there's a compromise. And I think in this situation, LeVar has to take into account that Lonzo has not stepped on an NBA basketball court yet.
Right.
Nobody in the history has ever done this. So obviously these shoe companies are not going to just drop the money. But if you're that confident in your son, then bet on your son and give your son some money. Why not work out a deal where if we meet certain criteria, you know, this goes from the type of regular deal that everybody gets to now a co-branding deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like
work. Yeah, he wants the co-branding deal off the gate.
Off the right. Bat. And it's like, yo. Like B said, and you know, I'm a Lonzo guy. I don't know if he's going to be that nice.
Right.
Like I think he's going to be nice, but I don't know if he's going to be that nice. I don't think he's going to be face of the NBA nice, and you're asking for face of the NBA type stuff. Like, I put it to you like this. I don't think he's going to be better than Ben Simmons.
Mm.
I think Ben Simmons is a better player than him, and Ben Simmons didn't get anything near that. Now, it doesn't matter that you have three sons. Those guys haven't even played. They're not even close to the NBA, the other two. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So you got to take baby steps. You are here just planning your you know what I'm saying? You're counting your chickens before they hatch, bro. You mm-hmm. can't do that. That's not how business always works. And I don't know, man. I don't like the latest stuff that's coming from LeVar. You know, I mess with the Ball family, but this right here, all I know is at 19, I'd feel some type of way. I don't, I couldn't voice it in the way I would now, you know, being a grown ass man. But you know, when you're a little kid, well, not little kid, but when you're a kid, a big kid, man, it, you know, you can't go against your dad. So, but I would have never hired my father or let my dad represent me in that way. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna handle it strictly professional. You know, so I don't know, man. That would have just been me. That's kind of crazy.
No doubt. Ken, man, he's looking for an equity partner. So he's looking to say, okay, he don't want his own. He wants more than just the common share that everybody else gets coming into the league, man. Is LeVar out of his mind at this point?
Yeah, he's lost his damn mind. First of all, Big Baller Brand, right? I did a search and I was just trying to see who's wearing it. That's all I was looking for. I couldn't find pictures that wasn't the Ball family.
Nobody's wearing it.
You know, so besides them and maybe their friends. So that's number one. Number two, what are the numbers? Like, because I think you just started that thing this year, you know, or maybe late last year. So what are the numbers? What are you selling? Your stuff are overpriced. The $200 for a pair of Lonzo Ball shoes?
Yeah, he wants $200 for the shoes. I think the hats are going for
like $100 or something.
Yeah, like $100. And I think the sweatshirt and tees are going for like $70.
Yeah, so here's the thing, man. And I thought about this right when I first saw it. And I felt bad for Lonzo. But it's like this. Lonzo hired his own agent. His dad is not his agent, right, for the NBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when Lonzo signs that contract, whose money is that? And where does it go? It goes to Lonzo. And the agent gets his cut. Who doesn't get any? LeVar. What LeVar has done is he's created this company, Big Baller Brand. That's his money. That's why he wants this deal. Because that's where he's going to get his check. Now, I mean, we all know family's family. He's going to get money from Lonzo. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, when that contract is signed, that's Lonzo Ball's money to do with as he pleases. LeVar doesn't get a dime. So LeVar, as he has done since this whole thing started to take off, is trying to set himself up with this big baller brand, and that's why he wants this equity deal. Because, and I'm not big on the shoe game and how these deals work, right? But if they sign a contract, a shoe deal with Lonzo, they sign that deal with Lonzo, right? Not LeVar.
Right.
So again, LeVar's cut out of the money. The way LeVar can get money is through Big Baller Brand. And that's how he's trying to get paid.
Yeah, I think he's definitely gone too far. Ken, you did it better than me because I didn't even try to think about Googling and see who was wearing it because I didn't think anybody outside their damn family was wearing it. For the three major companies to, and like you said, Under Armour was really the kind of the surprise for me because the CEO actually admitted last week that they're a little disappointed with the sales of the struggle shoes that Curry dropped a couple weeks ago. church shoes.
Really? Really? Shocker.
Right, yeah, that's a shocker. And so, you know, but it's unfortunate, man. And I much like B, I would really, really want to hear what Lonzo has to say. You know, again, he's 19. I don't know what I would have said to my dad at 19, you know, without, like B said, without the fear, getting the taste slapped out of my mouth. But he's rubbing people the wrong way, and his son has not dribbled the ball yet. And I think about that, and then I think about the fact that, you know, Nike, you know, LeBron mentioned in the video that we talked about, we looked at the other day, that Adidas wrote him a $10 million check just for him not to go visit with Nike and said, look, this check is yours if you promise us that you will not go see Nike. And LeBron, you know, had the wherewithal to say, okay, well, hey, now I want to see what they have to offer. And he figured, well, hey, if this guy's going to offer me $10 million not to see him, Nike's got to be offering me something. And obviously we know how the deal worked out for them. But, you know, it's crazy, man. I feel for Lonzo because he's the one caught in the middle of this. Hopefully LeVar kind of backs down because at this point, I don't know if you can't get your shoe deal through, you know, these apparel companies, where you going to go? You going to get the, you know, like Stephon Marbury, you going to get a Chinese company to do it or something like that? I mean, and if you go that route, then you definitely can't sell your shoes for $200. You just can't. And you better, you know, I don't even think Jay's even sold for $200 when Jordan was in the league. They might go for $200 now, maybe some limited edition kicks. But we wouldn't even buy Jays for $200. So, and when I say Jays, I mean Jordans. Good luck, man. He's messing up the money, and the sad part about it is the money hadn't even come in yet. So, we'll see. We have come to the end of the podcast. It's time for our closing thoughts. First up, BZ430. What you got for your closing thought?
Shout out to Colin Kaepernick.
Yes,
he's doing a partnership with the organization to give away 100 suits for former prisoners, gang members that, you know, did time or that's on parole, is doing, you know, trying to get back into the workforce. And he's out providing, and he's also providing business attire for women as well, women and men. It's not just men, but it's also for women as well, for, you know, offenders and you know, like I said, guys who made some bad mistakes, but, you know, served their time or did their time, and they trying to get back into the workforce, and, you know, have them feel confident wearing a suit, trying to, you know, for the interviews and stuff like that, man. So I, you know, shout out to Colin Kaepernick for really, you know, putting his money where his mouth is and putting his money into the community, into the urban inner city communities for these young, you know, I'm assuming a lot of black men that's trying to do right after making wrong decisions in their early life, man, because we've seen plenty of guys turn their life around, you know, after serving time in jail. And I think mm-hmm. that's a good jump start of, you know, of course, they're not coming out with a lot of money like that. So for them to give him some suits and stuff, I think that's awesome, man. So shout out to Colin Kaepernick. So that's my final thought.
No doubt. No doubt. I hope he gets on a team real soon. FIFO, what about you, man? What's your closing thought?
Shout out to Jim Harbaugh. We're starting to see the Harbaugh effect in the NFL. I believe they tied a school record for a certain amount of players drafted in the first round. And I think also overall, I think it ties some type of record from back mm-hmm. like in 72 or something like that. So, you know, more to come. I think he's just going to be pumping out another, you know, NFL football factory. So it's pretty cool to see so quickly.
No doubt. Also, shout out to Jim Harbaugh, who took the team to Italy for spring practice, got a chance to meet the Pope, and gave the Pope some custom-made maize and blue Jays, the five.
That was dope.
Now, I can't picture the Pope wearing some Jordans, but that's dope. Ken, what you got?
For me, man, speaking of black men, just to kind of piggyback off what B was saying earlier, I hope the brothers, man, are really, really paying attention to what's happening with Joe Mixon and two or three other players that were drafted. Reuben Foster is another. I hope people are paying attention. I hope they are paying attention. Chad Kelly, I'll even throw Chad Kelly in that, but I, mm-hmm. As well. I know sometimes it's tough to say. I know you get caught up in the heat of the moment and sometimes you lose yourself, but understand that you have a brighter future possibly ahead of you, and don't throw it away like that so quickly, because it's hard, man. And once they start freezing you out, once they stop taking you or take you late, sixth, fifth round, seventh round, you cost yourself a lot of money, and you cost yourself possibly a position on the team. Your talent sometimes is not worth, you know, your behavior and your attitude, because you end up costing the team a lot more than you're worth. And so really, guys, just this is for some of you a way out. And I want you guys to make sound decisions and keep your eyes on the prize. Last thing, I know a lot of people are ripping the Bengals, and I know the Bengals have a history, but can we stop praising the Patriots and saying that if the Patriots would have drafted him, you know, the Patriots this, Belichick did, because they did draft a murderer and a game banger, and they knew about it because they did the research on the guy, but nobody wants to bring it up. But everybody want to talk about Pac-Man Jones and ridicule the Bengals for their pick. So yeah, let's not act like Aaron Hernandez didn't exist, because he did, and they drafted him.
Preach, preach, preach. And my final thought, man, we got word a couple of days ago that ESPN laid off, I think it was like 100 people, a lot of them familiar faces and familiar names, from on-air talent to writers and things of that nature. I was a little surprised. I wasn't surprised that the layoffs happened. I was a little surprised at the reaction. Some people, you know, use their social media to make fun of these people for losing their jobs, which if you've ever lost a job or been a part of a layoff, which I have, ain't nothing fun about that, you know, because it's a scary proposition to go from one day being able to provide to not being able to provide for yourself or your family. And then I also saw some people talking something about a hidden agenda for ESPN. Listen, folks, the bottom line is this. ESPN is a part of Disney. Disney is a parent company, and they want to see profits. And while ESPN is turning a profit, you know, they felt the need to cut a lot of salaries, some of them bigger salaries. That's why you don't see the Chris Bermans and the, you know, Ed Werders and people like that who may have had one specialty. What you're going to see now going forward is people who can cross-section. I mean, like, we've seen Adam Schefter cover the NFL for years. Adam Schefter is now covering basketball and football. So it happens, and it's unfortunate, and I hope and pray that these people, you know, particularly the on-air talent and the writers who lost jobs, you know, find work and find work quickly, because it's not a good feeling to be unemployed. That being said, if anyone at ESPN is listening to this podcast, I know four guys who will be great for a podcast or a show that you want to have. If the money is right, holler at us. We're listening. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for checking out another edition of the Dead End Sports Podcast. For Beezy, for FIFO, and Ken, I am your host, 12 Kyle. We'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
Peace.